That came from a teaching we heard, 15 years ago, that talked about the essential nature of coming to the Lord's table, and we just haven't stopped doing it, and it always seems like it's the right thing to do. And so we have a group of people who are on this rotation, and they present communion, and I just want to say, Tammy, you did a great job today. That was beautiful. Beautiful. Some of my other friends who are leaders say, you know, how do you do that? And it doesn't get old. And I'm like, how do you not do that? Because it's like a homecoming every week. You come back to what's important, come back to what this is all about. Thank you for all of you that helped out with the memorial service yesterday. It was, it was amazing. I mean, I told the pastor at Timberlake Church, Ryan, has really just started there. He's only been there two Sundays. And I go, this is prophetic, Ryan. This place is going to be full. And that was before anybody came in there. And so he looked at me at the end of it like we had planned for 300. I think Colleen and I counted 312 chairs. And then people just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. And there must have been like 375 people. So I want to pray a blessing on Ryan and Timberlake Church, Lord. Bless them and increase the number of people who find that place to be home. Let that be a church home for hundreds of people, Lord Jesus. I know it doesn't sound possible because Castle Rock's such a small area, but I just pray favor upon Ryan, Lord. The Lord's favor upon him, Jesus. And Rick and Cindy want you to know that they're full. I mean, they've really were blessed by you. Sandy's dad passed away a couple days ago, and that's a mixed blessing because he was old and had a full life, and at the end of his life was surrounded by his two daughters when he passed, and from everything that they said, it was perfect for them. So I want to pray for them. I want to pray for Lillian. She's just been struggling with some kidney stone stuff, painful stuff. And Randy's in praying for the kids, so we don't need to lay hands on him. Somebody else? Terry, yeah. Terry is just needs some, I don't know what it is with kidneys, but we need to get them things up and running right now because a lot of people. So if you could just surround Dwayne and Sandy. I'm going back into the past. I'm regressing into my childhood. And then Terry and Lillian back here. Is there somebody else? Okay. And let's just pray over them. Go. Be the church. Go. Be bold. Be bold and pray for them. And don't just pray that they feel better. If his presence is here, miracles are here too. So let's do some miracles today, Lord. Pray boldly. Pray boldly. Healing, Lord. We pray for a release of healing. New kidneys, not just fixed kidneys, but new kidneys. Fresh. I pray for Randy, Lord, for a new set of kidneys. Let them be astonished. Nancy, too. So I want you guys to pray for Nancy right over here if you can. Let's pray that more kidney stuff. More, Lord, more. We want some extra kidneys that we have in a closet we can just give to people. We just pray for a blessing over kidneys. Healing, restoration, creative miracles today, Lord. Creative miracles today, Jesus. Today, Lord. Creative miracles. Release them over this place. Do we have any women left that aren't praying? Right back there, Brianna is about to deliver. She's a little bit overdue now, so she's kind of miserable. Just pray blessing on her too. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. There's nothing you can't do, Jesus. Nothing is impossible for you. We pray for the release of creative miracles in our midst. Healing, restoration, wholeness, comfort, strength, encouragement, hope, Lord. Release hope in Jesus' name. Release hope, Lord. Release hope, Jesus. Release hope over people's lives. Hope. Hope for the days ahead. Okay. One of the things I learned from a group that came up from another church was that you don't have, when you're praying for miracles, when you're praying for healing, it doesn't take long. God's not hard of hearing. He knows what we're after. Tom went to the emergency room last night, has all kinds of problems. And so we lift Tom up to you this morning, Lord Jesus, and pray for a miracle for him as well. Get him out of the chair, Lord Jesus. Do a creative miracle in him. Let us be astounded when he walks into this room in his own power, Lord Jesus. We don't just pray for him to be comforted. We pray for creative miracles in Tom Anglin's life. Creative miracles. Let this city be astounded at the guy who used to scream through town in a wheelchair is now walking. Bless him, Lord. Bless him, Lord Jesus. He may be impatient because he has to move so slow with those feet of his, but that would really shock some folks, wouldn't it? You probably noticed that there was not a mic up here today. That's because earlier today the Lord just said, you can go deeper in worship. If you don't have any distractions, you can go deeper in worship. And I don't know about you, but I think it happened. There was a place we went to that felt like there was nothing in our way. Now, that said, prophetic words in the midst of worship aren't distractions, typically. But I think the Lord wants to take us deeper and higher. And those of you around Dan and Adam and Jeff, no, just stay where you're at. Go around them and Dwayne, and Courtney. Just lay hands on them and pray for a release. Pray that they'll be able to take us places we've never been before as worship leaders. Just pray for them. They've been so patient through this time when we've been given words all the time. Just bless them and encourage them to take us deeper. Pray for them. Pray for them. Deeper, Lord. Deeper. We want to go deeper. Deeper, Jesus. Pray over Jeff. Lord, we pray over Jeff. You guys, this is like, you thought you were going to come in and sit down and relax. No, we're working today. We pray that they'd be able to take us deeper, Lord. Deeper and higher. I know that sounds like a contradiction, but we can do both. We can go deeper, we can go higher. Lord, release them to take us places we've never been in worship. God, take us places under their leadership that we've never been in worship. Yeah, over Jerry, over Patty. We got more worship leaders than we know what to do with. This is cheating. How do we get so blessed? Lord. Somebody needs to come up and pray for me. How did I get left out of this? I'm a worship leader too.
Thank you, Lord. You are removing everything from him that slows his death.
So much.
He is going to be spinning.
Yeah.
The waiting process would be shorter and shorter and shorter.
Mm-hmm.
He would just immediately enter his realm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But there wouldn't be any space or distance. Yes. It would be an instant connection between you, Father God, and your child.
Okay, we didn't need much prayer. We just need to be pushed over the edge. We just need to be pushed over the edge, that's all. And you guys, don't wait for each other to pray. That takes forever. If you know what African prayer is, they just pray. They don't wait for each other. There's no like protocol. They just all pray at the same time. They pray really loudly, and they just go for it. Okay, there's just a couple other things. Tina Moore was here. She left because she got tired of crying. Because every time she comes in here, she cries. She's been crying for weeks. A lot is going on in her life. Her and Felix have been married for about 160 years. And forever. And Felix is at the place where he needs somebody to take care of him, so he's going to move into a facility on Tuesday. That's part of the reason why she's crying. Part of the reason why she's crying is because that they're selling their house. That's a hard thing to do. I just want to lift Tina up in prayer. And then I just want you guys to tell her we love you, and I'll send that to her. Because we can. Okay. Lord, we lift Tina up to you. This has got to be an impossible situation for her, an impossible place to be, where she's turning care of her husband over to somebody else, where she's going to have to move out of her house and figure out what to do next. She has a job she has to think about and worry about and wonder about. Lord, we just pray for great grace upon Tina and Felix. Lord, we pray great grace upon Tina and Felix. Show them, Jesus, what it is they need. Show them, Jesus, that you love them. We love you, Lord, and we need you. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Lord. Amen. I'm not going to send her anything. That's dumb. So, we didn't have a mic up here. Unfortunately for you, that doesn't mean you're not going to keep getting revelation. So you're going to have to figure out what to do with that. My encouragement would be, when the Lord gives you revelation, turn it back up in intercession and pray. Pray it back to him. You don't have to. Don't think that because there's not a mic up here, you're not going to get revelation. It's probably going to increase, but you're going to have to figure out what to do with that. And so turn it into intercession. Marie had a word for somebody today, and she was going to give it from up here, but she ended up going over and just praying for the person. And so if the Lord gives you a word about some people that are in the room, ask him to show you who they are, and then go pray for them. So you're not going to stop getting revelation. Yeah. But we want to go deeper and higher in worship together. Yeah, come on up. Yeah, but you have to do this or you can't be heard.
I know some of the, Sandy and I have gotten a lot of words given to us over the years and everything. And what is powerful for us is to revisit those words that were given to us from an individual. And if you could just become a scribe, okay, and write it down when you give it to them. If it just is so meaningful that there's times in your life when you pick up those words that were given to you, that they come to life again, and they give life, and they point you, and they give direction in the sense of hope and things like that. You can have a time when you're just needed to be reminded of what God has said over you. I need to be reminded of 30 years ago when God spoke over me through a man. And it was written down, and it said about me and my ministry. It says, it's not a sideshow, it's the main event. And that stuck with me forever. I revisit that often because of the fact that it was written down.
That's good. Yeah, write stuff down, hand notes to people, slip people notes. You know, it's really cool. How many, you know, the scripture, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, Lean not on your understanding, you know. Acknowledge the Lord in all of his ways. He will make your path straight. You know that? Listen to this in the Passion Translation. Trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on him and him to guide you. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. This is the part that's a kicker. Become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. Become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. Become intimate with him. Let me read that again. Trust in the Lord completely. Do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. So Rick and Debbie are, come on up, Rick and Debbie. They went on a trip last year to Africa, and they thought it was going to go a certain way. And it went a different way than they thought it was going to go. They're going to share about their trip because they're going to go on another trip next week. The week after? The 10th. So they're going to share about their trip that they went on last year and maybe a little bit about this year. And then we're going to pray for them and we'll take an offering for them at the end. The offering isn't necessarily for them because I think the Lord's going to take care of them completely. But whatever money comes in today is going to go directly to whatever they need on the path that God is going to put them on. So just remember, trust in him. He'll lead you and guide you, and he will lead you on the path that you need to go on and that he wants you to go on. So welcome. I just want to pray a blessing over Debbie, over Rick, Lord Jesus. Let the word of God flow out of them today. Let the love that you have for them and for us flow through them to us, Lord. We love them, Lord Jesus. We love them with your heart. Amen.
Thank you. It's good to be home today. The last month we've had 8 different flights. I don't even know where we live anymore. But today I got a welcome from Randy, and he said, "Welcome home." And I knew I was home. No matter where I go, this is my church body. Jeff's my pastor. And that's it. So I am thankful to be home. I'm more nervous in front of you than I am in the multitude in Africa. I don't know why. I guess because you guys know me. And go ahead.
Home for me as well. About a little over 17 years ago when God reached into my life and pointed me back to the way, I came to this building, peeked through the door, and Jeff opened it. And it's been my home since that time. Same thing, been around back and forth here and there, but our hearts are here, and we believe the people we know here are in our hearts and have blessed us in many ways over the years.
Are they going to play this?
Yeah, it's playing. Okay. So these are some photos we've got that came from our trip last year. We were invited unexpectedly to go on this trip, and Debbie can say a lot more about that. But Debbie and I individually were called to Africa years before we were brought together. So we feel that we are following God's service and doing what he's called us to do. When I found my way back to God and started living the way he wanted me to again, the words came to my mind, Joshua 24:15, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And so serving is what we believe we're doing in this.
And Dwayne, it was awesome that you sang "It's in the Waiting." My first word of going to Africa was in 1987. And I burned my journals, unlike some people that have kept theirs for years, because I just... when John died, I just didn't believe those things were going to happen for me anymore. So I burned them all. And the truth is, I had told Rick 2 weeks prior to getting this phone call that I was not going to go to the nations anymore. I said, I'm not going to do it. Don't even ask me. And I said, I'm done, because my daughter had come out and said she was in love with another woman and she had divorced her husband. My son was on heroin, and I said to him, I said, how can I minister to the nations when I can't even minister to my own family? And I was just broken. And so then Diane called. I hadn't talked to her in 12 years, and she called and said, Debbie, I keep hearing your name. I'm going to Africa, and I keep hearing your name, and I was to call you. And I just said, well, I'm not going, you know. And I told her why. And so I get off the phone, and I'm just crying from the depths of my heart. And I turned around to Rick, and I said, I'm not going. And he said, so you think you're better than Jesus? And I think I hear him wrong, right? I said, what did you say? And he goes, do you think you're better than Jesus? And so I'm thinking, he still didn't just say that to me. And I hear him again. He says, do you think you're better than Jesus? And I said, what? And I said, no. And he said,
I said, Jesus couldn't minister to his own family either.
And so it just broke me. I literally fell to the floor, and I said, God, you take care of my children, and I will go. And
so Diane, who invited us on this trip, had gone the year before previously with her church from Castle Rock. And there was nobody able to go on this next trip with her, so that's why she invited Debbie along. And I said, well, I want to go. I've been called to Africa as long as you have. It's like, you don't get to go by yourself. So she called her back and said, well, Rick's invited himself, so he probably should come along.
And the great part of that is, okay, we think we're going on this trip, and I know I'm going to share a couple times within a month, but that's it. So, you know what? I'm good with that, because I just trust Jesus, and I knew he was going to give me the words. And what happened was,
go ahead. Well, we thought we were going to be roadies on this crusade, just kind of along for the ride with some other pastors and stuff. And turns out we get there, there's this banner with our picture on it, and we're the main event.
And I looked at that banner and I said, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I said, what is that? And anyway, we didn't know, but got up that morning and Diane said, well, you're sharing today. And I said, what? I said, what?
After being on an airplane for like 32 hours.
And I said, what? And she says, yeah, you're sharing today. And I just felt like I was thrown under the bus, you know, because I like to prepare. And that didn't happen. And God's having me let go of that, even though it's very, very hard for me. And I've always wanted my life planned out, the days I was going to work, the hours I was going to work, you know, my days off, and that's just the way it was. Well, it's been a train wreck for the last 11 years. And the Lord's growing me. And like I said, it's a joke, but I never know where I'm going to be, because Rick is a fly by the seat of his pants guy, and he will say, let's go to Arizona tonight. And I'm, what? You know? But anyway, on this trip, we started in Uganda, and we met the bishop and Diane. 3 days into it, she got a call that she needed to go home. And it was really a struggle for her, because she had heard God that she was to go on this trip, but her daughter-in-law was near death. And so anyway, she went home and it left Rick and I.
Basically dropped us in the middle of Africa with people we didn't even know to do what God sent us there to do.
A crusade, no less. And
we
so
look like Billy Graham.
So we were not only doing a conference in the morning, but a crusade every night for 30 days.
And driving around Africa in a beater 96 Corolla with no air conditioning, and half the windows and doors didn't work the way they were supposed to. With people we didn't know.
With people we didn't know. And we saw six other white people in a month. And plus, the ticket was, they all speak Swahili. And so we had no idea what they were saying, and we had to have an interpreter for every conference, for every thing that we went to.
Or they speak English with a real heavy British accent. So it's like, even if they're speaking English, it's pretty hard to understand what they're saying most of the time. So, yeah, like I say, when I came here a little over 17 years ago, God instantly sent me to Honduras with the body here that was going and at that time. And so he put me on the mission field, and I learned a lot of things. Like Debbie said, I mean, anything, it seems like anything we ever planned for a Honduras mission trip got completely changed the day we got there. It was just like no matter what we planned, it seemed like it went completely the opposite. And the harder we planned, it seemed like the more ridiculous it got. So God really taught me in that way how to deal with what he's got planned instead of what I got planned. It's in provision. I mean, God has provided for us time and again, but he waits till the last minute. He knows if he lets me know ahead of time that I'll try to make it my own and act like I did it. And so God provides at the last minute. And I know he does, and I've got to put my trust in him, but it gets hard sometimes. But we've been totally blessed. It's, you know, we believe that if we go out and reach one person in Africa, here, anywhere, that it's, you know, Jesus taught that he would leave the 100 as a shepherd and go find the one. And so if we reach one, to me, it's worth every minute. Every ounce of work that I do to prepare, to make the money to go, to pay our bills so we can go, all of that, it's just like leaving the 100 to find the one. And there's, when we touch lives, it's a permanent imprint on your heart. If any of you ever get a chance to go on a mission trip, go. Because it's the most wonderful thing you can ever do. But we need people at home, too. Not everybody's called to the mission field. Not everybody's called to go do what we do, and we get that completely. In Kenya, the pastor there, well, when on the way to Kenya, I started coming down with a fever. And so for the four of the days that I was in Kenya, I had malaria. So was quite feverish, quite ill. Thought it was just dysentery or something, but was told later that it was malaria. So in the middle of a fever sweat and chills and sicker than heck, the pastor there, Stephen, came to me, got me out of bed, told me to stand up, and spoke into my life. He released me to speak to the nations. He told me to quit running from God, to stand up, start listening to what he was telling me. And I said, what? But he said, I hear him. I just got to listen and get what he says. And so he released me to do something I'd never done before. It's like I've been on all these trips. I was always a logistics guy. That's Stephen right there. He's an amazing, amazing man. In Nakuru, Kenya, which is about 100 kilometers from Nairobi. And he really healed me. I mean, it of way past. My dad was a minister. It's I never thought I was ever headed that way. And so he released me to speak, and God began to work in me and speak through me then.
Rick said that it was malaria. I said it was a complete deliverance. And I'll just tell you why. Because he's called up out of bed, and the atmosphere in the room began to change. Okay, it was just swirling around, and Stephen was in his face 2 inches away, and he was calling him out. He said, stop running. Stop running. You have been running from God your whole life. You have been called and you keep turning. And you walk outside, you're on the fence. He said, quit running. And so, anyway, I'm thinking, whoa. Somebody beside me said it, you know? Yay. And so he goes back to bed. And I'm telling you, the next morning, he woke up and he was a different person. He got up on this stage, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. I turned to the bishop, and he was just preaching it. And I said, what happened to my husband? I said, you know how long I've waited for this? I said, he doesn't do this at home. I said, I don't even know who this person is. And I just began to cry. And it was just phenomenal. I mean, he was just putting his hands up and he was saying, this is all I want to do. This is all I want to do. And I'm thinking, woo! And so then we go to Tanzania, and it took us 23 hours to get there.
Yeah, they drive very slow. There's a lot of traffic, and huge speed bumps, police stops. I mean, it's, yeah. It
and I know that this will offend some of you, and you know what? I'm just real. We're in this car. We're stacked up with the suitcases, and I'm in the back. The windows won't roll down. It's hot. And the bishop has played the same tape over the same song 400 times. And we have followed this truck for 2 hours, going 15 miles an hour. And Rick turns around and he said, look at the truck. And it said F-U-X on it. And I said, that's just about what I'm thinking about now. Just being real. And so we get to Tanzania. We get to Tanzania, and it's just like we're worn out. But the bishop, he wants us to start speaking right away. And he has called us for 2 days. And there was a multitude of people, And they will pray and stand in line to have you pray for them for hours. And they just went anointed. And I laughed and I said, it was really breaking because I remember my friends that went to North Carolina, we would stand in hours waiting to get prayed for. And I'm thinking, they're waiting for us? We're nobody. You know what I'm saying? But God spoke to me in that. We're all carrying the same Jesus, the same power. And you know, that person to the left or right of you, have them pray for you. It's that simple.
Of course, Debbie's line was always way longer than any of the rest of ours. Debbie was praying for another hour after all the rest of us got done. But, you know, we found out in that the person my voice reaches and the person her voice reaches are going to be two different people no matter what. It's she touched the women. She touched the women's hearts. They came to her. They understood her. She spoke the love of Jesus, and the children all love her right when we get there. There's just like, they instantly flock to Debbie. She doesn't speak the language or anything else, but the children all flock to Debbie immediately. So it's amazing the power that is given you, you know, like at that crusade in Tanzania where we had hundreds of people would come forward at that. We were there for 6 days, so we had six nightly crusades that had like hundreds of people come forward to be anointed and touched with oil and prayed for at the end of each service. It was, but it's one of the most amazing things that you can ever be involved in. I'd never seen demons. I mean, I've heard that there's demons, you know, and people have, I was always kind of like, yeah, okay, there's demons.
Okay.
I've seen them, I've been confronted by them, there's demons.
So we're praying, and this lady is full of them, right? And I know it. God has given me discernment. It's not me. It's the discernment of the Lord. And I yell at Rick, get the bishop, get Pastor Alex. I said, this woman's full of demons.
And I said, the bishop's over there setting up the film. Alex doesn't even speak English, so he's not going to be able to do it. I said, I don't deal in that realm. You're on your own.
So I began to pray for this lady, and I just look up, and I said, I know where my help comes from. And I began to pray for her, and I mean, I prayed for her, I don't know, 20 minutes. And finally, you could see it breaking. You know what I'm saying? It was breaking in her, and she began to dance. She began to dance. And
turns out her name translated to peace. And she was actually the town crazy person. I mean, she wandered around eating garbage, sleeping on people's porches, had been, you know, beaten and abused, and she made a transformation that was something like you've never seen before in your life. It was, she was 20 years younger. That Debbie gave her some shoes like the one she's wearing, and the next day she was a changed person.
That night they called her on stage, and the bishop said, do you know this woman? And she didn't talk before. She couldn't talk. Her tongue was tied where she couldn't talk. And they called her up on stage, and the bishop and everybody knew her. And the first words out of her mouth was, I love Jesus. Wow. And then the next day, we were at the conference at church, and Rick said, why don't you go say hi to Peace? And I said, where's she at? And he goes, over there. And I said, where's she at? And he said, over there. And I literally did not recognize her. She had lost like 20 years off of her face. She was all cleaned up. The ladies had taken her from the church and given her clothing, did her hair. And she was praising Jesus, you know. I mean, it was just the most amazing thing. And I just thought, you know what, Jesus, you really, really are alive. And so in the waiting, I had the hardest time. And I remember Pastor Jeff coming up to me one time and saying, you know, you have a good, good father. And I had forgotten how good he was. And I had to be reminded even of that. And I'll never forget his words, because when you're going through those horrible, trying times, when you think you can't take another breath, your friends need to lift your hands up. They need to pray for you. They need to cover you. And they need to walk alongside of you. And that's what God's given me in this church body and in this my friends.
And all of you, for that matter, your prayers are what keep us going. I mean, there's time, it's, you know, as Ian quoted one time about going to Honduras, he says, it's not for the meek or faint of heart. I mean, you go through some tough stuff a lot of times. It's not just a cruise through Africa. There's a whole lot of other stuff involved, just in the food and the motels and, you know, the places you got to stay. It's like, yeah, one of the first restaurants we walked into had fried goat, stewed goat, cooked goat. And it was like, we laughed. I took a picture, you know, it was one of these chalkboards. I thought that was just cute as heck. Well, it turns out that's a staple. So I ate a lot of goat for a month and I got pretty used to it. But it's a trying time, but, you know, God still provides. He gives you everything you need. He's pulled us through. He's protected us. It's, you know, there's times that we just didn't feel like we had anything left. And so we're going back. It turns out that, so in the invitation from, you know, the church from Castle Rock, it turns out turning over completely to us. And now the pastors have been in touch with Debbie for a full year. There's like, and the pastors keep growing. I mean, there's like, dozen of them, you know, calling her now and wanting us to be at their body to share. And so, and it's not us. That's the whole thing. You know, it's like, we even told them on, it's like, we don't want to be on that banner. It's not about us. You know, this is about Jesus and about, you know, bringing his word to the lost. You know, it's, we don't want to be on that.
It's so, like going back 50 years. Cause when I told the bishop, which is over 230, churches, I said, and please don't spend money on those banners this year or those burners, because I said, we really don't want them. I said, I don't want to see my face anywhere. And he said, that's how we do announcements here in Africa. And I thought, you know what? It is. It's like going back 50 years. Yes. And you know what? There are no, there's no toilets. You go in the ground, and you go between the cows. I'm not joking. It is, you know, I know it's just Jesus. It's Jesus to go on this. And like I said, this year we've been invited back. We're going to do crusades. We're going to do conferences, but we're not going to do two a day because the bishop was pushing for that. And finally, I told Rick, I said, please call him because it's just too much. And so he listened to Rick, you know. Rick said it's too much. So now we're going to do three crusades a week.
Three days of conference and then 3 days of crusades. 3 days to prepare the people in the bodies that are supporting the crusades, and then we'll do 3 days of crusades. We think that the crusades are the biggest part, reaching out to touch the peoples. So,
don't you like how they think they're going to tell these people what they're going to do?
Yeah.
It didn't work the first
time,
but they
that
think
way.
That
yeah.
it's going to work the second time.
It's just like, oh my gosh.
I want to pray for him. And I want you to, I don't want to pray for him. I want you to pray for him. I want you to lay hands on him and pray covering over him. When I don't mean to change the whole flavor of everything, but when I found out they were going during this time, I was really worried about him. And I met with Rick and just told him, you know, kind of gently, this is really, really dangerous what you're doing, because the Kenyan elections are the 2 days after they go. And so so I want them covered. I want them protected. And one of the things I said to Rick was, and I'm sure that Debbie feels the same way, is I just said, are you willing to die? Mm-hmm. Are you willing to lose your life Amen. On this trip? Because if you're not, you have no business going.
That's right.
And they both are. So I'm not trying to freak you or anybody else or them out, but you got to be there. You got to be willing to let go of everything. Otherwise, you have no business being out there trusting God with this kind of stuff. So we're going to pray for them. Can we move this stuff off here?
Yeah, sure.
And we're going to give to them too while we're praying. And you can just put your offering up here on the table. And so, and you can write to Evangel. We'll just write them a check for whatever comes in, and or you can put cash up there. You can do whatever you want. And why don't you guys have a seat, and we'll come up and pray for you. And I'm really serious. These guys, they can't do this without you.
No.
They thought, they didn't know this the first trip, but they know kind of what they're doing this trip. I mean, they know kind of what the Lord can do with them. And I think he's going to do even more with them in this trip. But they can't do this alone. They have to have a covering and protection over them. And not like authority. That's not it. But prayer. They need our constant prayer. So, Kevin, maybe you could put some music on. And we're going to pray for them and bring our offering up and put on the table for them to take over there and use however he wants. And please, don't wait for one person to stop praying so you can pray. Just pray. Just pray. If you pray over the top of somebody and they get offended, that's their problem. Okay?